The following podcast is brought to you by the Communication and Media Studies Department at Dominican University of California. Welcome to the Triple P Podcast, where we picture the past and present of popular movies made by well-known directors. In this series, I will be breaking down if us humans have changed as a whole when it comes to producing specific movie genres. I'm your host, DJ Fig, and let's get rolling. Hey guys, welcome back to the Triple P Podcast. I'm your host, DJ Fig, and if you are new here, be sure to check out my last two episodes. We've compared movie genres such as horror films and action films. In this week's episode, we will be talking about live-action sports films infused with animations. You may ask, what is a live-action sports film infused with animations? Well, that is a great question, as we will decipher this genre soon, and later on in the episode, we will be comparing two movies of the same genre, bum-ba-da-bum, Space Jam 1 and Space Jam 2. Let's get to it. Let's get to deciphering first. So, what is a sports film? It's pretty obvious. It's a film based on a specific sport. Some example of sports used throughout films are boxing, baseball, and basketball. There's nothing else really to it. It's pretty obvious. Most sports films mainly target people who are very interested or, to be honest, play the sport. Next up, what are animation films? As a child, I can 100% say that you all have seen an animation film, let's be honest here. And my definition of an animation film is a picture book made into a movie. Jokes aside, according to filmsite.org, animations films are ones in which individual drawings, paintings, or illustrations are photographed by frame by frame. Some popular animation films you know if you do not live under a rock are Moana, Spirited Away, Kung Fu Panda, and Toy Story. There's many more to it. Another important thing to note is that all these animation films are made through different types of studios. Excuse me. The most successful animation studios in creating these movies are Pixar, Disney, DreamWorks, Studio Ghibli, and Warner Bros. A question people wonder is, how are these animations made? Well, animation films are made through a super long process. How did these animation studios create these films? They start off with making a storyboard. This is what a comic book is, so that the animators have an idea what they will be animating. Next up, they start computer modeling. Since they have an idea of the characters from the storyboard, modelers convert those characters into a 3D mesh. Kind of similar to a puppet, an action figure, but in a computer. Since they now have these 3D models in the computer, they use this term called rigging, which is a process in which the animators put a skeleton in the models so that they can have free control of the characters with a click of a button in the computer. Since they now have created a layout, they now go through so many more processes such as shading, voicing the model with voice actors, and rendering them. I was looking more into it and saw that according to the Film Connection, it can take anywhere from 4 to 7 years to complete a 90-minute animated movie. This is due to the rendering. Alright. Since I kind of gave you a lot of information on these two genres, let's get to the movies. First up, Space Jam. You know the drill, I'll be giving a short synopsis again of what happened during this movie, so if you haven't watched it, spoiler alert. So in this movie, we are introduced to one of the main villains, Swaghammer, whose main objective throughout the film is to obtain all the Looney Tunes characters to be forced to work in his newly made amusement park for entertainment purposes. If you guys don't know who the Looney Tunes characters are, some notable names you guys probably know are Bugs Bunny, Daffy Duck, Porky Pig, Tweety, and Lola. I'm sure you heard Bugs Bunny's iconic phrase, "What's up, Doc?" Anyways, moving forward with the synopsis, Swag Hammer eventually gets a hold of all of these guys, and somehow, and some way, the Looney Tunes character convinced Swag Hammer, the villain, to play them in a game of basketball for their freedom. The Looney Tunes know nothing about basketball, so they call on the aid of Michael Jordan, one of the greatest basketball players ever to live in our life, to help them have a chance at winning their freedom. And in the end, Swag Hammer creates a team of monsters who are really good at basketball and plays against the Toon Squad, which is the name of the Looney Tunes team with Michael Jordan, and eventually beat the monsters and gain freedom. I'll just end it off from there and start talking more in depth in the production and success and my thoughts. Firstly, what are my thoughts of the film? So, watching this maybe 10 to 12 years ago, I remember that I absolutely loved it. Being biased, I loved basketball throughout my life, and seeing some childhood characters like the Looney Tunes felt really good to see. However, watching it again, I still thought it was good. I thought it was good for what it is, for what it is as a whole package, and as a feel-good family movie that's fun, positive, and somewhat energetic that infused animations and live actions pretty well. The Looney Tunes were being typical Looney Tunes throughout the film, which is something I also enjoyed. Something what also really sparked my interest in actually watching the film was Michael Jordan. If you don't know who Michael Jordan is, it's cool, but just know he's the guy that won 6 NBA championships, and if you were to ask someone who is the best basketball player ever to live, 80% of the time that person will say Michael Jordan. Anyways, yeah, having Michael Jordan in the cast really sparked not only me, but a lot of basketball fans throughout the world. He's made such an impact on basketball, and I feel that Warner Bros. Did a really good job in casting him. Since we talked about my thoughts, let's go to the in-depth production and understand how they produced the movie so well enough to see Michael Jordan playing basketball with animation characters. What I found interesting about the production process of Space Jam 1 was that it was one of the first ever productions to be shot in a virtual studio in the 90s. If you don't know what a virtual studio is, a virtual studio is a studio where they can connect the real life world to the computer world, hence how they got Michael Jordan to make it look like he played basketball with the fictional characters. Adding on, they made Michael Jordan film in a 360 degree green screen room with motion trackers to help the animators and producers identify where he is in the scene, since his main cast are all animations. Since it was mainly animations, to help Michael Jordan, he had people dressed in green screen suits as improv characters to replicate the movements of the animated characters. Space Jam was also one of the earliest animation productions to use digital technology to work on the CGI and perfect so that no mess-ups were made. This costed around $1 million in their budget. As for success, for being released in November 15, 1996, the film had a budget of $80 million and grossed nearly $250.2 million. What made these guys even more successful was expanding into a media franchise, such as adding comics, video games, and clothing in relation to Space Jam 1. With this expansion, Warner Bros. Generated nearly $6 billion in revenue. Now that we have talked about the movie from the past, let's talk about the present film, Space Jam 2. First, let's begin with a quick synopsis of Space Jam 2. You know the drill. Spoiler alert. We begin with NBA superstar LeBron James with his fictional son Dom, who gets trapped in a digital space by the main villain, AI. Similar to Space Jam 1, in order for LeBron James to get back to the real world, he has to beat AI in a game of basketball with his monster team. His monster team, also known as the Goons, wasn't just some random characters good at basketball. Their skill level was based on players from the NBA and WNBA, such as Klay Thompson, Damian Lillard, Diana Taurasi, Kevin Durant, and Anthony Davis. While on the other hand, LeBron had a team full of unmotivated Looney Tune characters. Somewhere and somehow, the Toon Squad did it again by beating the Goons with the help of LeBron James and being loony. Before I get to my thoughts on the film, which I have a lot, good and bad, I'm just going to go straight to the in-depth production real quick. Firstly, for animations and visual effects. Lucasfilms was hired to create the CGI for Space Jam 2. I thought this was huge, as some notable Lucasfilms are all on the Star Wars, who produced great CGIs. Some notable animators for the production of the film was Mark Henn and Tony Bancroft. These guys were known from the veteran Walt Disney Animation Studios. Moving on, production of the film began in 2019 summer and ended on September of that same year. Alright, let's get to my thoughts. Honestly, when I heard this movie came out, and it being LeBron James, I thought it was pretty excited. I was disappointed, however, how they didn't continue with it with Michael Jordan. But it's fine. It's LeBron James. People compare him to the second best or the first, but obviously it's Michael Jordan still, personally. Although these two movies are sequels, I feel that it's basically a reboot 26 years apart. But when I watched the actual film, Space Jam 2, again, oh my god, it was not good. I instantly thought of it as a nostalgia-infused cash grab, shoving in as many properties as possible without any thought for the pure purpose for letting people get hyped over it. There were honestly too many Warner Bros. references, and it low-key overwhelmed the whole movie as a whole, and kind of ruined the movie itself. I also thought there were way too many scenes out of place. One scene there's this, and the next scene does not correlate at all. Something I found cool when watching the film, though, was the CGI. I thought it was cool that they turned these 2D Looney Tune characters into an actual character, which is pretty awesome to see. For example, they made Bugs Bunny into like a real-life person, and you could see his fur, and it's just something I'm not used to. I thought it was pretty unique. Another thing I noticed from watching these two movies was that I honestly thought that it was too similar for it being a Space Jam sequel. The only difference between these two movies was honestly the main character, that being LeBron James and Michael Jordan. I'll explain further more later on in the podcast when we start comparing the two movies, but another thing I also did not enjoy from Space Jam 2 was that it was too long. For it being 2 hours long, there was just too many cut scenes where it was unnecessary, and I felt like the production of the films was honestly kind of random. In conclusion, I thought that this movie was okay, and honestly, there isn't much to say until I start this comparison, which will be now. Alright, let's start comparing these two movies of the same genre. We'll start with the Rotten Tomato scores. Again, if you don't know what these scores are, it's basically a percentage score given by certified credible movie reviewers throughout the world. For Space Jam 1, they received a tomato score of 44%. Yikes. As for Space Jam 2, they received a tomato score of 25%. Wow. As you can tell, these two movies did pretty bad. But not as bad as Space Jam 2. Another thing we will be comparing is the plot. I mentioned many times earlier of it being similar, and although they are both from the same franchise, you would expect that the plot wouldn't be the same as it was a sequel. But in this scenario, from watching both of these films, they're literally the same. It seems like Space Jam 2 literally just copy and pasted the entire plot, but changed the villain and the main character. Another similarity was the main character's acting. Although I adore these basketball players, they're not actors. Michael Jordan and LeBron James' acting is so bad. I mean, I'm not surprised. Let's be honest here. They aren't actors. They're basketball players. I thought both their acting were embarrassing to watch, and the only times I enjoyed the film was when they were actually playing basketball, something they are good at, not acting. In conclusion, for the movies being 26 years apart, was this franchise successful in being unique and different over time? I think it's pretty obvious that it wasn't. Maybe you guys think differently. What do you think? Thank you for watching this episode, and have a great week. Tune in for next week's episode where we will be comparing another genre.